We have some light somewhere. There, now you can see me, right? That's what it was all about. Well, good morning and welcome to Grace Point Church. We're glad you're here this morning and to look forward to a time of good worship as we give our attention to God and enjoy and become grateful for the blessings He's given us. I want to say something before we do a quick fellowship. We could have mentioned it last week. We're going to mention it this week, and some of you are well aware of the fact that D-Day was this past Thursday. It was 80 years ago that our troops landed in Normandy to help push back Germany and what they were doing in the countries they were invading. 80 years ago today, and I think we still have a reason to be grateful for those men that went, the families who sent them, and we thank God for that. I hope we thank God every day we live in the country that we do. America's not the best, but we're free. We're free. And I appreciate not only what the military did back then, but what our military does now, not only to protect us, but help other countries live in freedom as well. Okay? I want to read a couple of verses as we begin this morning out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Many of you know this as the Great Commission. And here's what Jesus said. He said, "So you must go to people in every country of the world. Teach them how to become my disciples. Baptize them in the authority of God the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have taught you. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will be with you until the end of time." Let's pray together. Father, we bow now to acknowledge the reason we're here, and that is to worship you, to thank you, to praise you, to seek your face. And we pray, Father, in that process, through your Holy Spirit, you would get our attention in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, so we can hear what you're telling us, so we can have the opportunity to obey. Part of that, Lord, is that indeed we go to every people, everywhere, every type of people, not only close to us, but around the world, and share with them the good news that we celebrate, the good news that Jesus died for us so our sins could be forgiven and raised from the dead so one day we can live with you. God, that is good news. Speak to us today about sharing that good news. We ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. A few months ago, Jonathan Sandifer, member of our church, matter of fact, he's the guitar player that doesn't have the graying beard, the ZZ Top look, the Duck Dynasty guy right here. He's the other guy, clean cut. Yeah. But a few months ago, Jonathan shared with the staff, talked with us pastors about his feeling God's leadership to go on a mission trip to Guatemala. And we prayed about it, we talked with him, and then we brought it to the church. We got excited because God was calling one of our own to go on a mission trip, and that excites us because we realize that there's a whole lot more that God wants us to do than just meet on Sundays here in Charleston. And so we embraced him. As a matter of fact, the need, I think, Jonathan, that you shared with us just to get there was like $2,300. Not his only need, but one of the needs. We said, you know what, we're going to try and fill that. And you, as this church, you not only met that need, you went over that need. So you can get there and eat now, okay? See if they got McDonald's down there. So I want to share a message this morning because at the end of our service, we're going to lay hands on Jonathan. We're going to commission him to go to the mission field because when does your plane actually leave, Jonathan?
10:00 Friday morning.
So this is his last Sunday before he goes. So that's what we're going to do. And so I want to share a message with you. If you have your bulletins, pull the outline out. You can follow along as we go through this. I want to share a message with you called, We Are Called to Be Sent. In Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what the scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That last phrase that Paul uses, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, is actually a quotation from the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 52:7, this is what he said. The prophet said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, the first thing that came to my mind, because I'm such a scholar and theologian, was, really, how beautiful are feet? I mean, think about it. Some folks, male and female, try to make their feet look more beautiful. The fact is, our feet, our tootsies, our dogs, aren't created for aesthetic attractiveness. Some would believe they are. They go to countless means to beautify, remodel, enhance, doll up their feet, such as daily cleansing. Now, we should do that, right? Wash your feet once a day. But then there's cuticle care, nail polish, pedicures. You can go to an MD, a medical doctor, a podiatrist, to address foot concerns like corns and calluses and fungal infections. And we do all of this still. Even then, our feet are awkwardly non-attractive to the human eye. And at times, they're just nasty. Just nasty. For the record, the exception to ugly feet are babies' feet, right? Aren't the babies have the cutest feet, and then they grow up. What does the apostle mean when he quotes Isaiah and he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? I believe Isaiah uses the word beautiful to describe feet, not because of their physical appearance, but because he saw beauty in what they did. They literally carried a person who had good news to share. That's why the feet are described as beautiful. Paul may have used this word feet as a shorthand for messengers who traveled on foot to take the good news of Jesus with people. Now, I want you to fill in this blank. There's a couple of them in this one phrase. I am, we are sent to bring others into God's family. I am sent to bring others into God's family, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. We are, as Christians, and in this case, our church, we are sent to bring others into God's family. That's why we exist as a church. It's not the only reason, but it's the main thing. The moment a person steps across the line spiritually to be saved and let God control their life and change their life, that moment is when God begins to tell them, you have this good news. Now I want you to take that good news and share it with other people. And think about it. If we had the cure for cancer, for leukemia, for autism, and we didn't share that with anybody, that would be criminal. God has given us an even greater message. How to have our past forgiven, how to have a purpose for living, how to have a home in heaven. And if we don't share that message with people who need to hear it, that is also criminal. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:18. Through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. Then God gave us the work of bringing others into peace with him. I like when Paul says that God gave us the work. Underline that word. You know, sometimes we really want God just to work in His Spirit, and we feel led, and things happen. There are spiritual serendipities that come together, and to be a part of that is wonderful. It's great. But that's not all it is all the time. Sometimes sharing Jesus is work. Sometimes you have to plan, you have to strategize, you have to dig deep to share the good news. It doesn't always happen magically on a mountaintop. A lot of times where it needs to happen is down in the valley, and it takes work down there. I want you to underline the word peace in that verse as well. It's used there two different times. God made peace between us and Himself through Jesus, and then God gave us the work of bringing others into peace through Jesus. It's God's eternal peace plan. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." We are called to be sent. Just like God sent Jesus, Jesus sends you, Jesus sends me, Jesus sends us. Each one of us is called to be responsible for sharing the good news of Jesus with others. Now, most of the things in life, we know this, most of the things in life, they're not going to last. Right? One day, no one's going to care what movies you like to watch, what books you read, how you spent your summer, what degrees you earned, how much money you made. That's going to become obsolete. People don't care about that in the long run. It's interesting. I travel the Mount Pleasant Bridge, the Ravenel Bridge, every day, going to work and coming home from work. It's the joy of my day. Drive over that bridge, and somewhere there's a little sign that says, "This is the Arthur Ravenel Bridge." In a couple of years, no one's even going to know who that guy was, to say nothing of the bridge being named after him. It's going to mean nothing. Jesus said we need to do something with our lives that will outlast us, that will go on after we're not here any longer. A couple of the things that will outlast us, that will go on forever, is truth and people. And if you invest your life in truth and in people, then you are investing your life in things that will outlast you ultimately. Can you imagine getting to heaven one day and somebody comes up to you? Now, I wonder about my theology here, because you kind of think, well, if we all get to heaven, we're going to know everybody. Maybe that's true, but for the point of this illustration, let's pretend that's not the case. And someone comes up to you, and they introduce themselves to you, and they say, "Hey, I just want to thank you." And you shake their hand and say, "Well, okay, but why? I don't know you. I haven't met you." "No, no, you have." "Now, how? How did I meet you?" "Well, you see, one day you had a vacation Bible school, and you went out into the community, you invited people to come, and I was one of the ones that came, and you talked to me about Jesus. Or your friend or your leader, your church, talked to me about Jesus, and I got saved, and in part, you're the reason I'm here today." Wouldn't that make your day in heaven? God sends us to share the good news so other people, among other reasons, can get there one day. And God sends us to do that. William James said, "The greatest use of your life is to invest it in that which will outlast you." And when you invest it in people who are going to last for eternity, then you're going to bear fruit that will last forever. All because we are sent to share the good news. Now, how does that work? Here's the biblical recipe. Fill in these blanks. Ordinary people, empowered by God, making a difference together wherever they are. Start with the first one, ordinary people. All of us are ordinary. Maybe there's some things extraordinary about us, but we're all just ordinary. We're all just average Joes and Joannes. That's who we are. God uses average people, empowered by God's Spirit. We can't do it on our own. We don't have to. When we become believers, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and we have all the spiritual power we need to do what God wants. And together, we're trying to make a difference wherever people need the good news. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, "But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth about my death and resurrection." This verse teaches us that the church, the whole church, should be taking the whole gospel to the whole world. He lists different areas. First of all, he talks about Jerusalem. This would be equivalent to where you live. Jerusalem in our day would be our backyard. It would include people like your family, your friends, your coworkers. It's where you spend your time. We're there. We take the good news to them. And then he talks about Judea. Judea would be like-minded people groups, maybe the same general geographical area. Maybe you have a cultural vicinity with people around you. That would be your Judea. We go to Judeas as well. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Samaria is equivalent to non-like-minded people groups. Maybe of the same general cultural vicinity, may not be. People you talk with, people you live around, like-minded people, people in your city, in your county, maybe in your state, somewhere in our country, we're all like-minded for the most part. And then people who are not like-minded. We have each of these areas in our nation. We have each of these areas all the time. For some of you, your Samaria is everything above the Mason-Dixon line, right? Good Southerners. Good Southern Christians, above the Mason-Dixon line, No New Yorkers, Bostonians, Baltimoreans. Hey, I'm from Baltimore, I can say that. I've been called a lot worse. For some of you extreme Southern folks, anything north of that great vacation destination, south of the border, anything above that, off limits. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then look, the last thing he talks about, the ends of the earth. This is all people groups everywhere. Guatemala, among many other places. Have you figured out that God really does love and care for people everywhere, not just in our nation? God is not an American citizen, folks. He loves the people groups that we don't love. He loves the people that we are angry at. In different places in the world, he still loves them. He wants them also to be saved and have a changed life. God says, "I have a plan not only for America and the Christians here, but all over the entire earth, to the ends of the earth." So, all of that being said, what does God want me, what does God want you, what does God want us to do? A few things. First, pray that people will say yes to God. Pray that people will say yes to God and accept God's invitation to do mission work wherever they are, wherever God calls them to go. In Matthew chapter 9, this is what Jesus said when he sent his followers out on the first peace trip. Jesus said, "There are so many people to harvest, but only a few workers to send help to the harvest." pray to the Lord who owns the harvest that he will send out more workers to gather in his harvest. The first thing we can do is to pray. I remember when I was in seminary, I had to take a preaching course. You think? And the first sermon I ever preached in seminary, I preached on this verse. I had 12 minutes to preach my entire sermon. How do you think I did on that? Time. We need to be praying that God, it's interesting because we're going to pray that God will send people out. And you know what God will do? He'll say, okay, you're one of them. You praying for people to go out? Good. I'm sending you. To every one of us, God will send if we'd be willing to go. So part of your calling in life, part of my calling in life, is to pray that God will send people out to reach everybody with the good news, no matter where they're located. And because everybody deserves to hear, we need to pray. Later on in the service, we're going to pray for Jonathan specifically. We're going to have him right down here. We're going to lay hands on him, and we're going to pray. I'll tell you right now, Jonathan would add to that, don't stop, right? Don't stop. Pray for me. Pray for the mission that I'm going to. Not only should we pray, but secondly, number two, we should give to help others go. Maybe you're in a stage of life right now, you can't literally physically go, but you can help others go by giving. I mentioned earlier in the message, this is something we did for Jonathan. We didn't just do it for Jonathan. We did it for God's work. We did it for the people he's going to go to. We did it for the missions that's going on there already. We did it for the people there who are waiting for someone else to come and share a different perspective. Who knows how many people will be saved, whose lives will be changed, altered from lost to found, from not a child of God to become a child of God, from not heaven bound to heaven bound. And so we give financially to help. You see, I don't have a lot. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes a lot of people to give a little, right? Then you get a lot. God multiplies that. Remember the story, the fishes and the loaves? I still don't understand that. You know, here it is. Little boy said, okay, here's what I have. Jesus said, okay, have him sit down. We're going to feed him. He pulls out some bread. What's he stick his hand back in the bag and pull out some more bread? And it just keeps on going. That's how God can multiply what we give to him to carry out his work. Look what it says in 3 John chapter 1, verse 8. We must support believers who go on trips like this so that we can work together with them in spreading the truth. When you give financially to support people who are going, look what it says. It's like, it is, we're working together with them. When he's in Guatemala, we're going to be here, but we're working with him in carrying out the work God's calling him and the mission team to do. How? We gave. We prayed. In Matthew 10:8, it says this, freely you have received, freely give. God says, I've been generous with you, now be generous with others. We pray, we give. Number three, we step out in faith. We step out in faith. I personally prefer to have all the notes, all the maps, all the plans of my life, not day by day, moment by moment. I'm really comfortable with that. And God doesn't give that to me all the time. Can you imagine? Because if God did that for us, we wouldn't have to walk by faith, right? We could just walk by sight, what we can see, what we know we could do. But God says, step out in faith. You can wake up in the morning and before your feet hit the ground, you can say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'm trusting you, use me. God, I know you're going to do some really cool things in the world today. Let me be a part of that. God, give me the privilege of sharing with somebody about the good news of Jesus. Folks, the train is moving. It's always moving. And when it moves through us, by us, around us, we need to get on board and let God work through us to accomplish what he wants to do. Henry Blackaby put it this way decades ago when he wrote his book. He said, what we need to do, instead of trying to just go do work for God, we need to see where God is working, see what he's already doing, and join him in that work. Jonathan's going to go down to Guatemala. He doesn't probably have a clue all of what's going on. He's probably been briefed already, but when he gets there, he's going to find out where God is really working, and he's going to join God there in God's work. Folks, that's what God does for us here. Every day he's trying to show you, here's what I'm doing. And he's saying, get on board. Join me in this work. In Psalm 67, verse 2, it says this. Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. Boy, I love the attitude of that psalm writer. That's the kind of attitude we need to have. I want to dare you to pray the most dangerous prayer you could ever pray. The most dangerous prayer you could ever pray is a two-word prayer. The single most dangerous prayer you could ever pray is this: use me. If you ask God, use me, buckle up. You have no idea what's coming your way, but if you're serious about it, God, use me, you're getting ready for the ride of your life. Because God wants to use you, and when we come with that kind of attitude, he will use you. Use me. And that leads us to number four. Go. Go where you can go now. You can go somewhere now. I can go somewhere now. We live in a city, a county, an island that's filled with needs all around us. People are hurting. People are dying. They're emotionally bleeding. People need help. They need Jesus. You can go now. In the Bible, there was once a guy who was struggling with some personal demons in his life. Jesus helped him get his head on straight, helped him get his act together. And he wanted to follow Jesus to the next town, to walk to Jesus. He said, Jesus, you made me a new person. Now, Jesus, I want to follow you to the next place you're going to. I want to be a part of that. And Jesus said, no. Jesus said, no. Look what he did say in Luke chapter 8, verse 39. Jesus said, go back home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. Sometimes Jesus calls us to go. Sometimes Jesus calls us to stay. Stay where you are. Go back home. Underline that word, telling. So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. So many people think, well, I can't witness. I can't do that. I can't. Yes, you can. You don't have to know theology to witness of what Jesus did in your life. Just tell them your story. The fact is, people can refute the Bible. People can argue spiritual truths or theology. They can do that. They can get into philosophy. They can do that. But they can never, never take away your story. And my story is, here's my life before Jesus. Here's what Jesus did for me. Here's where I am now. Just keep it simple. Jesus changed my life. And he can change yours. Some of you need to go back home and tell your story. Tell some people you know, some relatives. Tell some strangers about Jesus. You need to tell people on your campus or your business in your neighborhood. Tell them about Jesus. Tell people around you about Jesus. Tell them the good news. Tell somebody. Tell somebody. There's got to be somebody that you know that doesn't know Jesus. Tell them. Advise, announce, confess, explain Jesus to somebody, express, inform, mention, notify somebody about Jesus, speak, state, apprise, divulge, proclaim Jesus to somebody. Just tell them something about Jesus and what he's done in your life. It's my hope and prayer that none of us go to be with God in heaven until we've told somebody down here about Jesus. I like it in 2 Timothy 4:5. Work at bringing others to Christ. Put your boots on, get your working gloves, get your tools, and go to work. What's your work? Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Why? So they can have what we have by his grace. We are called to be sent. I want us to be a church who sends. I also want us to be a church who go. We'll figure out how God's working in this. We've already figured out one way. And we're going to have a response time like we always do. Maybe today you want to come down and say, you know what, I just need to be telling some people, and I just want to pray about that. There's some of us will be down front here. We'll be glad to pray with you about it. Maybe you need to go over to the cross, and you need to say, God, I haven't told anybody. God, I've never told anybody. So, God, I want you to change my mind and my heart to tell somebody about Jesus. Fold that and literally just nail it to the cross. Just give it to Jesus and say, Jesus, give me a chance to tell somebody about you. Maybe in our worship time, you want to participate in the Lord's Supper today. We have a station here, two stations in the back. You can get up and move around and do that. Maybe you just want to stay where you are and meditate and pray and sing. There's a connect card. You should have received that in your bulletin. Maybe on the back side of that, you can check one of those boxes for us to pray for you or put a specific request down. The pastors get that, and we pray for you as you share your needs with us. Whatever God wants you to do, we want you to do that now. And then we're going to have a time to dedicate Jonathan. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your message to us today. That indeed we are called to be your children. And as your children, we are called to be sent. Not just to enjoy the blessings you give us. But we are called to be sent to others. Close to us, far from us, around us. So they have an opportunity to come to know Jesus as well. Now bless this time of response, Lord. Speak to our hearts and help us to respond the way you want us to. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonathan is going to Guatemala. Is the mission team or the Impacto? Remind me what Impacto is.
Impacto is a large ministry down there that provides services through the Happy Tummies program. Abuelitos, teaching sewing to... They provide all these services all these different, through great. Some church plants that are down there.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we got a video. We've seen it before. I want to show it again right now. So you guys have a seat if you want. Let's watch this video about Impacto. This is part of what Jonathan's going to be doing when he gets there, and then we're going to have a time of prayer for him, okay? So we're excited to send Jonathan down there. I've asked Jonathan to come and just share a word or two with you. And when I sent him the email, he sent back, I don't know how to share just a word or two. So you know how to cut his mic off? Is that how we do this here?
Check. Yes. I said something like, he asked if I would share a few words. I said, oh, yeah, I'd absolutely share many words. I mean a few words. So, Kevin spoke about your generous giving. It was like $2,300 I needed to get down there. Through the church, raised an extra $1,000 out of that. And I just thank you so much for that. Already, We have bought some supplies that are going down with us that are going to help out the Happy Tummies program, which is the after-school program to feed kids a healthy meal that might not get a healthy meal otherwise. We're already purchased some supplies there, and some money will go to some other supplies when we get down there to help these programs as well. So I'm looking forward to get down there. And I tell you, you know, you talked about, and I've spoken about this before, about God using ordinary people. And I, you know, praying that prayer, use me, God. And if you can use a wretch like me, you know, use me. And he says he will. And that means if he can use me, he can use anybody. So, you know, I certainly say to step up with Kevin's message and keep that close to heart. I love that translation of the 2 Corinthians 5:18 that Kevin shared. Through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. Then God gave us the work of bringing others into peace with him. If you go back one verse, it's the verse that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is here. The new has come. The old has gone. And that's, and then he sends us, he saves us and sends us to share that peace. And, you know, 10 years ago, I grew up in church, but 10 years ago is when God really saved me. And he gave me that peace, went from struggle in life to peace. But then he calls us immediately to share that peace. And that's what we're to go out into the world, to bring others into that peace with Christ. And I thank you for your support in going to do this in Guatemala. You know, it's so important for us to do our missions here, but we also should reach out to the world. And that's what we're going to do through Guatemala. We are going to do. This is not my trip. I'm tagging along on another group to get down there. But we, as Grace Point, are going to go do this. I'm going to ask you to please pray. That's the number one thing that Kevin spoke about. I'm going to be leaving on a plane Friday morning, the 14th, returning very late at night on the 22nd, so 14th to the 22nd. I ask you to please pray during that time, not just for me and the safety of the group, but just for the action of that ministry down there while we're down there. And we're going to want to keep going. The ministry is going nonstop down there, so we want to keep on praying. I'll speak to you, I'm sure, in the future about the other points that you said with regards to this. You should pray about that in your own life, but with regards to this, giving and stepping out and going. But right now, as far as Guatemala and this trip goes, I really ask you to pray. And I thank you, Grace Point, for the support. Thanks so much, Kevin.
You're welcome. If you were here a couple months ago, actually, Jonathan, we got to meet two missionaries, right? The full-time missionaries down there. They came and spoke at our church. I hope you were here for that, too. So what I want us to do, Jonathan, I want you to come right down front here and kneel down. And what we're going to do here is just a way to commission him and pray for him specifically as his church. So if you can physically make it down, and if you'd like to, we want you to be a part of it. But you can pray right where you are. I mean, it doesn't matter one way or the other. But if you stand now, you want to come down. Jonathan, kneel right down here. Our staff's going to be here. We want all the church members who can. We're just going to literally lay hands on him. If you can't reach Jonathan, lay hands on the shoulder of somebody behind you. And we're going to pray for him and for our trip, for him, his trip, the mission work, the people he's going to go see, the missionaries who are there. Jonathan, we have almost the whole church around you. You're the one who's called us, God. You've called us to be your children and to be sent so other people can become your children. Who would have known, Lord, the way you brought Grace Point Church together, that so early in our ministry you're calling someone to come and do missions? I think that's exciting. Thank you for Jonathan, for his life that has been changed, for his willingness to serve you, to love you, and to share your good news with others. We lift him up before you, Lord. He is your child. May you keep him safe and literally guide him every step of every moment of every day that he has to work with people there, to meet needs that they have, physical needs, and also the spiritual needs. Empower him. Give him a very high sensitivity, Holy Spirit, to what you're calling him to do. And when he can't see, help him to walk by faith. We love you, God. Show your love through Jonathan. We pray all of these things together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. If you want to stay here and say a word to Jonathan, give him a hug or something, feel free to do that. Otherwise, we are dismissed. Now I see.